never be, I'll say it again, we'll never have church unusual, or we'll never have unusual things going on in church. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in church for a long time, and I get tired of that regular stuff. We tell the truth, we tell the truth. I read about supernatural, and I read about all these things going on, but then I come and we don't do none of that. You know, I feel like something's wrong. I feel like there's something, nothing wrong with him. Ain't nothing wrong with the power. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with his will. There's something wrong with me. There's somewhere along the line that I'm missing it. There's somewhere along the line that I'm either blocking or rejecting the power. There's somewhere along the line that I am not adhering to or listening to or receiving, big word is receiving, what God has provided for us to be. You know, God is always trying to manifest through us and show himself through us. If God showed himself, if he came down here and showed his own face, everybody dying. You can't look upon God's face, right? Right? But he has to show himself through us, so he needs vessels. So we won't have church unusual unless we really get it and really understand what Jesus is. I was walking through the office today, and I believe it was the Holy Ghost told me, and he said, remember who you are. Loud like that. Remember who you are. So I'm walking around. I guess everybody thought I was crazy today. I preached to probably about 8 people on the staff right after that. But I said, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remind yourself of who you are. Put yourself in remembrance. You know, we say that about communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Remind yourself who you are. So the next question is, who am I? That's my next question. Because I can't remind myself of something that I don't know. Remind, the word remind, it means mind again, your mind again. So you go back to the original mind. Like you rewind, you wind something again. When I remind, I'm minding myself again. So there's something, I can't remind myself of something if something hadn't been on my mind already. So if I have not been enlightened about a thing, then I cannot remind myself about that thing until I've become enlightened. I got a revelation on it at first. He said, remind yourself who you are. It's good to remind yourself. In the word of faith, and we learned about confession, you know, we were attempting to do the right thing by saying the right things and quoting scripture and saying the right thing and making confession. We were attempting to do the right thing, but the problem was we were thinking that the confession was making a manifestation when the manifestation is already there. Like this grace thing is blowing my mind, killing my religion, changing my preaching. I had to go back and talk to my young people and say, man, I know I told y'all that I was wrong. God had grace on us all. And he worked it out for our good, man. But there's so many things that we said that was so much law and not grace. He said, remember who you are. Remind yourself. So today I was just I had to do it on the record, but I really understood what he was saying today. And I was reminded. I was doing my mind over again. Because what happens is, and we're going to get into the scripture, but what happens is you'll behold yourself in a glass, talk about this in James 1, but then you leave and forget what man of man that you are. And if you forget who you are and you don't know who you are, see, who you are, your being tells life what it should be. This church unusual now. Your being, who you are, tells life what it should be. I stopped and asked a young man today. I walk up to him, and there's a few people that walk up, and I say, who are you? Just out of blue, who are you? He said, well, my name is such and such. I'm going to put him on blast. He said, my name is Troy. I say, oh, so that's you? I say, so that's who you are then? I said, how you think the world feel about Troy? How you think life is going to answer when you say, hey, my name is Troy? There's no power in the name Troy. The power is in the name of, well, my name's such and such. I know your name, but who are you? I know it's on your birth certificate, but who are you? You know, people say, well, I call a bunch of people, I don't know what you mean. I said, well, if you don't know what I mean, then how could you be anything? Everybody started looking for their spiritual answers. That's not how we do. Jesus Christ? Who? You know, they start saying everything. No, I want to know who you are. You must know who you are. You cannot walk in unusual. You cannot do anything unusual until you know who you are. And then you clearly can't remind yourself of who you are if you don't know. Not you heard, not you think, not you have an idea, but you know who you are. See, this is where the power is in your life. See, what life is, life responds to what you put out. So it shouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction that when you know who you are, then wherever you go, everything is subject to the power that's on the inside of you if you really knew. Now, why is it that life ain't subject to us? Why is it that it seems like life kind of dictates to us? Why is it that the sickness and disease, or these financial matters, or these things that come up in life, why is it that these things dictate to us when we should be dictating to them? We are in control, but we must know who we are. A lot of times, you ever heard somebody say, you think you know, but you have no idea? You ever heard somebody say that before? A lot of times, that is us. We know all the scriptures, but do we know who we are? We know all the lessons. We done read all the books, but has it changed your identity? What is your self-image? What do you see? Do you know who you are? Now, think about your reverend and all that stuff. I'm talking about who are you? Who are you in Christ? And you must know. You cannot operate in a power if you don't know who you are. You cannot operate in the power of Jesus Christ if you don't know who you are in Jesus Christ. It is not going to work. The power is there. Let me understand. You're born again, right? Are y'all born again? So y'all born again. You got Jesus in your heart, right? You made a covenant with God, right? Right? So it already is what it should be. You are already blessed. You are already prosperous. You are already on top. You are already anointed. I know we do different little things to be more anointed. When is it? What's the level? Where's the level? The anointing level. Like, what number is it? Like, I got 20 pounds. Like, what? Like, where's the level? You already are anointed. You already have the power to be everything God has called you to be. But you got to know who you are and then remind yourself of who you are. It's a constant, consistent, everyday, minute-by-minute thing. Remind myself, but I must know myself. So I started thinking about this grace message. Grace makes my confession different now, because I know that my confession, because that's the performance. That's works. If I'm doing it to try to make something happen, then I'm trying to work. It's my performance. Then I can say, the might of my hands, talking about Deuteronomy, the might of my hands. See, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get well. And then he's talking about, unless you're going to say, the might of my hands and my power got me this well. Alright, and so now with this grace message, takes me off of myself. I die. Grace makes me die. To me. I can't do nothing no way. But I'm off of me, so I can take no glory, and God, I have to get all the glory. Alright? But this grace message makes it clear for me, because now I know when I'm confessing and when I'm saying that I am the righteous of God through Christ Jesus, when I am saying God loves me, I am the beloved of God, when I am saying I am healed, you keep on saying I am, you know who I am is, right? Y'all know who I am is, right? So when I keep saying I am prosperous, when I say those things, I start telling myself who I am in Christ Jesus. It is less about my name or my title and more about who he is in me and I am in him. One of the things we got to get through our heads, grace. Grace is not a message. It is over and over again. Grace is not a message. It's a person. What person is that? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. So when we talk about grace, we're talking about Jesus. I'm going to show you in the scripture in a minute. Luke chapter 2. I don't get ahead of myself. I will definitely do that if I'm not careful. Luke 2. And it's this Jesus. This Jesus. We think we know Jesus. I knew the Lord. I met the Lord a long time ago. That we say, huh? I met him. I met him way back then. No. He found you. He came and got you, number one. All right, let's get that together. Who found? No, he found you. You were the lost one. I don't know why I found the Lord. No, he found you. He found you where he was. Get it through our head. It's breaking religion, y'all. And for us to really be who we're supposed to be, we got to break a lot of this old stuff. All of us got it. You know, all of us got it in it. We just got these things that we've been taught. in our minds that we got to break to get the true identity and really start seeing what God wants us to see. We've been like that man. I said that we've been like that man that saw men walking the trees. And that's cool because you're not blind and you're not in the dark. But God, dog it, I want to see. And I want to see clear. If there's two fingers up there, I want to see both of them. I don't want to wonder what's going on. For we see in part, know in part, but when that which is perfect has come. Y'all know the scripture, right? When that which is perfect has come, you can see it all, your clarity. And that's the goal, but we got to get a firm grip of who Jesus is, what grace is, and what is the correlation? Like, how does this play with me? I know I'm born again. I know I got the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus. There's on the inside of me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You've overcome them, little children. You know the scripture, right? Because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. So I know these things. I know I'm made the righteous of God. How? How am I made the righteous of God? Come on, church. Come on, preachers. Come on, reverends. Through Christ Jesus, you made me that way. Through Christ Jesus. There's nothing that I can do. We go through the gospel over and over again. Paul kept on preaching. There's nothing that you could have done. That you don't have enough good works in you to pay back what was done for you. So when you get that through your head, you realize that you stop working for Christ and you start working with Christ and in Christ and through Christ. It's a difference, ain't it? Working for somebody than working with them. Different ball game, huh? With God, all things, when you're with Him. See, understand it. So, and with Him don't mean just when you're born again, because I know a lot of people that's born again but ain't with God. Do y'all catch what I'm saying? I know a lot of people that go to church, but they ain't with Him. You understand it? How about get it? Get understanding. Get understanding who I am. Understanding who I am. So grace is not a message, but it's a person. I'm talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2. You may have seen this scripture before. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and y'all read it. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and you read it. Ready, read. Well, hold on, what child are we talking about? Who is the child we talking about? Huh? Wait, what's his name? Okay, read it again. Ready, read. And the grace of God was upon him. And the grace of God was upon him. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, sometimes I think we miss it. And we get so fantasized by the story. And we jump on all the miracles. We get so fantasized that we forget the principle and the lesson and the identity that we're supposed to be picking up out of these scriptures. And the grace of God, the child group, wax strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, let me make you understand something. When Jesus decided, y'all know what we talked about last week. I don't think people really know that first part. I don't think people really got a grip of the first part. For God so loved, a lot of people really don't have that grip. They got the grip that he sent his only begotten son. Because they believe it, they confess it. But you can't take that and leave out that. Because you can't fully take that until you get this. Because what happens is, if you don't take the whole thing, you'll have your everlasting life, but you'll be perishing while you're here on this earth. Because you don't know that God so loves you. Not just loves you. So, see, he put that for a reason. So, how much more is so? That I love you. I so love you. Whole nother level. I think he put that on a reason. Love is enough. For God to just say he loves me is enough. But then when I say for God so loved me, it lets me know that it's over and above anything that I could think about. Like it's over above anything I can reach. And so now for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. We realize that watch this. When God decided to send Jesus, and Jesus took up on these things that we got, this flesh is the only thing that we know really, right? Right? This flesh. When he decided to take upon this manhood, he had to take upon him the curse of nature at the moment. Because man was under the curse, right? Why? Why was man under the curse? Because Adam messed up, got us under the curse, all right? So now When you enter in this world through the womb, you are entering into the cursed situation. All of us did. All right. Now Jesus found you, but all of us did. So now, Jesus, the part of God, came in and took upon a part of the cursed nature. So even him, the child, waxed and grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and even Jesus had to operate in the grace. Now, we know that when Jesus came, he started talking to me today, y'all. I'm sorry. He started talking to me today, and he said, stupid. I said, what, Lord? He said, stupid, I've been showing you how to live, but y'all ain't paying attention. Y'all tried to make a doctrine out of me. And you made me religious when I'm showing you how to live. I'm showing you how to be. If you really go look at the scripture and pay attention to Jesus, you got a message Bible real quick. Hebrews 12:2. Anybody got a message Bible? On your little app or something? Or if not, I'll read it to you. Never mind, ain't nobody said that. I'm going to go do it myself. Hebrews 12:2. Anybody know what Hebrews 12:2 said before you get there? Does anybody know what Hebrews 12:2 said before you get there? Huh? You can't be skipping no, don't skip no words, not sure. Don't skip no parts. The author and finish, but you got something else before that. What it say? Jesus. What is it? Looking under who? Jesus. Looking under who?
Jesus.
And how did it describe him?
Author.
The author and finish of our faith. All right, right. Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Go there. Now I want y'all to, y'all just read it. Y'all got the King James Version, right? Go ahead and read it. Verse 3, read. I'm reading this today. Looking at Jesus, I know the scripture. Looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And I know that statement is clear. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, meaning the beginning and the end of my faith. I'm looking unto Jesus. My eyes must be on Jesus. Why must I look unto Jesus so much? Because that's where my identity is. My identity is nowhere else. But see, it gives me another principle that wherever I'm looking at, that's where I get my identity from. On a quick second, a side note. Come on, write that down. But it's a side note. But wherever I'm looking at, whatever I focus on expands in me. And so wherever I'm looking, that's where I get my identity. So if I'm looking at the wrong thing, I become the wrong thing. That's why it's important to see where you're looking at. It's important to see what you're paying attention to. That's why you're watching that eye gate. What you looking at? Who's in front of you? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Ain't talking about who the joy that set before him, despised and endured the cross. Right? We keep going. He's sitting in the right hand of the Father. Right? Watch this. I read this thing in the Message Bible. And it says this. Watch this. We find us. We know the scripture said the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was on him. I mean, Jesus needed grace. Now watch this. He said, in the Message Bible, he said, keep your eyes on Jesus. You ready for the next part? It says, who both began and finished the race we're in. Oh, catch the statement for a second. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who began and finished the race that we are. What does it mean when I say we are in? If I am in, that means right now, in the moment, the race that I am in, he already began it and finished it. So that means that he knows how it goes. The way that it's supposed to be run is in him and nothing else. It's not in how many scriptures you know. It's not in all these things that we try to do to get good. It's in him. That's where your anointing is. That's where your fulfillment is. That's where the increase is. That's where the divine health is. That's where the miracles are. That's where the over and above comes from, in the identity in him. You can't be looking at yourself and seeing your name. What's your name? Say your name. Say your name out. That don't matter. I don't see it, even if you got a Bible, a name out the Bible. I don't see your name saying nobody, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to Montreal. So I already know that in Montreal, it ain't enough. All right? In Reverend Montreal, it ain't enough. Adding the Reverend to my name don't make no more difference to my identity if I don't know nothing. I've got to be clear. I've got to be clear about who I am. I have to have clear vision. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who started and finished this race that you in. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Now he's there in a place of honor right alongside God. Watch the next part. So when you find yourself flagging in your faith or lagging in your faith, go over that story again. Item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot, listen to it, that, going over that story again, it says, that will shoot adrenaline through your soul. Y'all know what adrenaline does to you? They say adrenaline, this story about this lady, the car fell on her child, ain't nothing to do, and adrenaline, and her, I don't know if she was scared or whatever, but the adrenaline got her to the baby to pick up that car and get her baby from under there. The adrenaline makes you something more. It shoots adrenaline in your soul. So whenever you're flagging in your faith, remind yourself of your story. Hold on. No, we see. So you got, it got to stop being Jesus' story and got to be our story. Huh? We got to move from it being about Jesus And to the point where it's about me. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me. He gave Jesus for me. Jesus died for me. I don't know if he died for nobody else in this room, but I know that he died for me. I know that he got up for me. I know that just not even at the cross, but he lived his life for me. It's not Jesus' story no more. I can't be going witnessing to people about Jesus' story. I got to live this thing. There's a difference in the power there. So now Jesus is showing us, church on you. Jesus is showing us, church on you. Jesus is showing us how to be the unusual church. We got to stop approaching him, or stop approaching his word, or stop approaching these things with these religious mindsets. We stop approaching trying to get a message. No. Forget your word. Forget your reverend. Forget your whatever your title is. Forget the time that you got to preach. Forget all that. I talked to my staff this morning. We started talking about that. And so I'm looking at Jesus. Ephesians 4 is a good scripture. Ephesians 4 and 13 and the message. I started reading it again. And so I'm talking about the measure of the stature of Christ. And so I'm talking about we got to look at Christ. He the example. Say it over again. Look at Christ because he's the example. Because he is grace. Look at Christ because he's the example. And I told him that it is not about us coming here to work as a staff. So listen to me. It is not about you coming here because you're in ministry school. Watch this. It is not about you wanting to be a minister. Because if you don't change, your ministry don't change. If you ain't no different, if you don't know who you are, how will your ministry know what it is? And how will anybody that's supposed to be ministered to by you know that you're the one that they're supposed to be hearing? Are you the one, or do we look for another? Are y'all with me? You've got to know who you are in Christ. So back Luke 2:40, it said the child grew. And I'm about, boy, Jesus is a trip. That's the best way I could do it. Best way I could say it. He tripped me out because I'm reading. And I know he on some other anointing. Because it said, verse 4, it said the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we see that Jesus was operating in, even Jesus needed the grace of God. Even, what is grace? God's unmerited favor. That's the pretty answer. Praise the Lord. That's the church answer. What is grace? Huh? Something we don't deserve. Getting something that you don't deserve to get. That's all it is. Just getting something that you ain't worth getting. It's something, grace, and it's so such a minimum example, but grace is you work 40 hours a week, but you get paid for 1,000 hours. There wasn't enough hours in the week for you to work to get that type of pay. You couldn't have done it if you wanted to. You don't have the capability to do that. And yet you get that type of payment. Some grace is. More than what you deserve. More than what you worked for. It's better than how long you read. Huh? The anointing is deeper than the time that you were able to pray. God ever done it? Thank you, George. God ever done that for you before? He did something for you deeper than he's doing it all day, every day. But just he anoints you further than what you could have. You got to a place in the spirit that you couldn't have walked there if you wanted to. Somebody had to pick you up and drag you in there. I knew Jesus was on some other anointing. Grace, I knew he was on some other stuff. Because when I get down here, this is funny, but Jesus up in the temple talking to the preachers, and he was astonished at how he was answering. And his mom and them ain't even know they're going to Passover. They ain't even know where he was. Right, young boy? Ain't know where he was. And they come back looking for him, verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed that his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father, I sought thee sorry." And I'm sure she probably said it in a motherly, strong voice. "Where you been, boy?" Every time I see this, I imagine my mother. Get it on me. And I knew Jesus wants some other anointing, because he said to him, "How is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business." In other words, he's saying, "What you mean you was looking for me? You didn't know I was about my father's business? You on another anointing. I don't know about your house. I don't know how it was. But for me, I got to be on some other grace to tell my mama, what you mean you was looking for me? You ain't know about my father's business?" She'd be like, "Yeah, but I'm your mama." You know what I'm saying? Like, it's another anointing. But Jesus, listen to this. We're going to go to this other scripture in a minute. And that's funny, but it's a point behind it. Because Jesus, listen, remember I said your identity tells you how life responds to you. And if you think you know good, then life going to treat you no good. Come on. If you think you ain't worthy, life is going to treat you unworthy. See, life ain't responsible to do nothing for you. This system ain't come here to teach you nothing. That's what Jesus was here for. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus to redeem us and to clean us and then to show us who we are. It is not just about the whole work of the cross. The whole work of Christ was from his beginning to his resurrection. And even right now, the story ain't over, because he's on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And it's showing us. If we pay attention, if we look at it right, if we get off, we take these blinders off. We start seeing grace for what it is, huh? And we take these blinders off and we start seeing what it is. So not Jesus, watch this. Life is supposed to yield to you. You're supposed to walk in, tell me something about Jesus. What is it that didn't answer Jesus? What is it that didn't yield to what he said? You name it. Name the thing. Y'all Bible students, huh? Y'all done read the gospel before? Name that thing that didn't move when Jesus spoke to it. The tree died, the bread broke, it was multiplied, the blind eyes opened, the dead rose up, huh? The demons came out, right. The water turned to wine, right. And then the bread multiplied again, another time. You know, we think it's only one time. He did it a few times. Then he walked on the water and made it be what it wanted to be. What was it that didn't do what Jesus wanted it to do? The winds were blowing and he's sleeping in the ship, and the people ain't had no faith because they wasn't listening to Jesus, and they didn't know who they were or who they had on board with them. All they had to do was get up there and say, "Jesus is on this ship. Calm down." They didn't know. They ain't know who they had with them. You know, Jesus really went and don't be like Jesus really went. You know, the disciples really didn't get a full revelation of who Jesus was. Paul had a better one. He didn't even walk with Jesus. It'll be a shame to have all that power with you and not know. Ooh, but you got it on the inside. It'll be a shame for your ship to be tossed to and fro and cared about whatever wind the docks. Y'all know the scripture, right? And for the winds to blow and toss us and slap up us all over the bank when we got Jesus on the inside. And Jesus come up there and told the winds, be quiet, and it calmed down. What was it that didn't do what Jesus wanted to do? It wasn't nothing. All right, so we get on it. Well, Jesus, Son of God, huh? And you not? Jesus, Son of God, you not? Come on, identity. Jesus was the Son of God, and you not? Come on, you got to talk to yourself. You cannot, listen. Here's why Jesus came. All right, we watch all these sci-fi movies and all this. Jesus could have done a whole bunch of other stuff. If he wanted to go another way, he could have done a whole bunch of things. He could have came out the sky and started slinging lightning everywhere and then tried to redeem that way. He could have dropped a bunch of sprinkles from the clouds to make it look spiritual. He could have done any kind of, God could have done it any kind of way he wanted, but he decided to put his son and let his son come through, come into the earth through the womb, just like us. And then he had to grow up. What was a baby? There's a specific reason behind that. There's a specific reason. God is not crazy, so he did things for a reason, the way for a reason, for you to understand who you are and how to live and how to be. There was nothing that did not yield to what Jesus wanted it to do. And it was for us to get off this. Come on, when you go back and study Jesus, get off this religious stuff. All this fantasy stuff. Jesus did everything he did for a reason, just to show you how to be. I don't think we know him enough. We think we know him, but we really don't know him. We think we know him, and we confess him, and we ask him in, but you got to make a relationship. You know, see, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When you talk about name, I say this over and over again, and I say it again, when you talk about somebody's name, you're talking about their character. Your name is your character. Your name carries your character. I get a certain amount of respect when I go places because I am a Thompson. There is a character that comes behind that name. And don't let me put the first part on it. I say this with all sincerity, but don't let me put Leroy Thompson on it. Oh, you are Dr. Leroy Thompson, son? Now there's a whole nother door that's opening to me because of the character that comes with my name. Because I am an heir. I can walk in pretty much any church, anywhere, and I can walk in and say, I'm Dr. Leroy Thompson, and I'm going to get some kind of special treatment. I'm going to get some seats. Yeah, and you can look at me, and then you can tell. You can look at my face and say, well, he ain't lying because he looked just like him. He ain't lying because he looked like him. Because when life, I don't need life to see me. Let me tell you, let me go. Sometimes I don't want nobody. I'm not trying to, you go out there, I need to know. No, I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm a reverend my church. I'm going to make a name for my ministry. I don't need no name. Listen, God set this thing up already. My dad told me a long time ago, he said, son, he said, you ain't got to do what we did. You ain't got to work as hard as we work. Because I've been out here already. So I'm just going to walk in my identity. And I'm not going to abuse it. I won't misuse it, but I'm just going to walk in my, the path has already been, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. No man coming to the Father. Now you think you're talking about going to heaven when you're talking about going to the Father. No, that we may walk bold into the throne of grace. I'm just going to walk. My yoke is easy. So them doors, a door open? Yeah, I'm a Thompson. Okay. Nah, see what I'm saying? I'm a Thompson. Yeah. That's my daddy. Boom, door open. Yeah, that's my, you look like somebody I know. What's his name? Oh, that's my daddy. Door's open. Boom. I just walk on in. Now, if I get beside myself, this is what we do, because we got this consciousness, and we got this self-righteousness, so we work a little bit to make a name. You don't need to make a name for yourself. I need my legacy. I need to make a name for myself. You already got a name, Jesus. You already got a name. I don't need to go fight and try to make no name. I already got one. Come on. So now, because I have the name and I'm in the family, come on, and I have the name, and because I look like him, I might say his name and you might feel a certain way, but when you see me, you like, that gotta be his son. He looked just like him. So now when life sees you, who should it see? Because what is it in life that didn't bow down to the name of Jesus? So everything should bow down. All right, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with who? Who am I joint heir with? What is a joint heir? Did he say how many percent you get? Did he say you got 20% and he got 80? No. It just said I'm a joint heir. So that means what he get, what he made happen, I'm a joint heir. So now, I'm representing Jesus. Yeah, I got the same power. Yeah, that's my brother. Yeah, God is my father. You know, Jesus didn't say, y'all said it last time, Jesus only said my God one time. That's when he was dying. He said, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? That's the only time he said my God. Every other time you heard him refer to God, he was saying my father. The difference when they say Abba, Abba. They say when you go to Israel, they say you hear the little kids run around saying Abba, 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 because they're saying daddy, 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 daddy. Make a person. When we say Abba, we stop calling God God and start calling him Father. Not out of trying to seem like you deep, but just you really got a revelation that that's your father. Do you really know that that's your daddy? All right, and if you really know that's your daddy, then you know that he loves you. And he'll love you. And he'll protect you, and he'll keep you, and he'll provide for you. This is what a father does. If you really knew, you gotta get to know your daddy. So because I look like him, I can walk like him. And so because I look like him, when it shows up, I don't need nothing to see me. We always see in me. I see me looking in the mirror. Ain't no power. I know I look at myself in the mirror and the power starts jumping. No, I only realize the power when I see Jesus. That's when things start changing. All right? That's my identity. I started off, those of you walking late, I started off saying, the Lord told me today, remind yourself of who you are. Remind yourself. Remember who you are. But in order for me to remember, I got a member. Like I got to be a member. Like I got to know already. Y'all stick with me for a second. I'm excited a little bit. Now my identity is in Christ. My identity is in grace. It is already done. Look, when Jesus showed up, I'm gonna show you something about Jesus, right? Come on, thing. Let's go to John chapter 14. I'm gonna show you what you're supposed to be looking like. Time this class in there. All right. Y'all know the scripture we just quoted a little while ago, John 14 and 6. Read it. Read it. Ready to read. Verse 7. He's saying, this is Jesus talking. Now, listen to this for a second. Now, you got to put yourself, living by the book, I love that class. And I put myself in a position, I realize Jesus is talking to somebody. And Jesus walk up to these people and say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Hold up. This is a conversation. Don't nobody go to the Father but by me. Now, y'all are extreme heresy. A lot of us would have lived back then, we'd have been the ones on the crucifying side. I know you think that you'd have been a disciple. Hindsight, boy, something, because we didn't look back and read the Bible for years and we didn't see the whole story, so now we didn't religiousize it. So you'd have been there. Imagine somebody walking here right now and say, I'm Jesus. I'm him. The one you've been waiting on, I'm back. Y'all ready to, oh, Lord, look at that. Somebody grab him. Security? Grab. Right? You'd have been the same way because there wasn't no, like, they prophesied of one coming, but you didn't have all this Paul writing and Timothy and Ephesians and Corinthians and Acts and all. We have all that. There wasn't no the Bible like you know it right there. You just faith right now. You had to have some fire. Did not our hearts burn? Had to be something going on. So now he come in and say, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man coming to the Father but by me. You're seeing the Father already because you saw me. Is that what he said in that scripture? You're seeing the Father because you're seeing me. Could you stand up and say that? Would you have enough? I'm joining with Christ. Hold on. I see we. I'm not going to say that to nobody. I mean, hold on, because I'm going to join that with Christ. So that means I got a right to say, oh, watch this. You should be seeing the Father through me. Are you telling me, what you're telling me is that what Jesus did on the earth was some superhuman stuff, which it was, which you should know that you're superhuman. Which in our mind, we're saying, well, that was the Son of God right there. That was, you're separated. You're disconnected. That was the Son of God. He could, not me, though. That was Jesus. He said, the works that I do, so you do also greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Was he lying? Like, what does that mean when he said that? The works that I do, so you do also. Stop. Pause. Think about it. The works that I do, so you do also. Stop. Pause. Think about it. Stop talking about the works being going witness to the world. Hold on. The works that I do, shall you do also, and then greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. What does that mean? Huh? But see, we gotta get to the point where we know that. We can't be tiptoeing around being all scary. See, with the false humility, that's what it is. Your false humility. You ain't that humble. You really want to know humility is? What is really being humble really means? I totally depend on God for everything. That's what it means to be humble. And they got a bunch of, I'm not worthy. Lord, no. You can stand up. You can stand up and look it in the eye. But you realize that it's not you. It's him in you. You realize that you're connected to something bigger than you. And this is the source of the power. All right, quit walking around here like you're scared, man. Walk around here like you don't know what to do. Walk around here like you don't know what to say, and you forgot who you are. Quit walking around here. Quit preaching like you don't know who Jesus is. You need to get a revelation and get an understanding. That should be the only thing on your agenda right now. Don't be thinking about no papers, no nothing else. No, you should know who Jesus is. Because when you get that, everything else falls in line. If you get that, all that stuff that you're trying to work towards is going to fall in line. Hold on, listen to me. If you get that, then all that stuff that you're trying to work towards, Grace don't say that, though, but you trying to work towards, all that you're trying to work towards will fall in line, because grace is already. I am already blessed. I am already prosperous. I am already healed. I am already righteous. I'm in right standing with God right now at this direct moment. And can't nobody change that. I can't even change. I am. Say it.
I am.
Say it again.
I am.
Come on, say it again.
I
and
am.
You must remind yourself of this. What Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. Then the further down, I jump down, and I see how he's, even when he was a kid, he was saying who he was. He breathed and bled confidence in who God was. He knew what he was doing. He knew every move precisely on what he was doing, so he knew nobody could stop him. Because he knew. This is where the power was. See, the power has always been there for you to accomplish whatever it is that God has called you to accomplish, but you just ain't know who you were. The anointing is already there. I gotta pray to get more anointing. Which prayer is it that got you across the hump? Tell me which one it was. Well, you know, when I prayed last Tuesday, that was the one that put me in the anointed field. No, you was already in the anointed field. You just didn't know it. You know, when you're praying the Holy Ghost, it's not that you're becoming more anointed. You're just building up yourself on your most holy faith. Well, what does that mean, Montreal? Faith is what? What is faith? Acting and believing on the word. What am I believing on? Right believing produces right living. So my belief is in the fact that I have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of me. I'm a joint heir with Christ. So now it's building me up on my most. What is the most holy faith? The fact that I got the rights that Jesus gave me. That's my most holy. What is most holy faith? See, come on, get out the religious mindset. All right, y'all got me? Y'all got me? Come on, flow with me. Y'all got me? When I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith, meaning I'm getting myself off of my mind and putting my mind on his mind. Huh? I'm getting off of me and I'm getting on to him. I'm awakening to God's greatness on the inside of me. Wake up. Huh? Wake up, him that's sleeping. Wake up. And Jesus was so clear. He jumped down here and said, have I been with you so long, 1,000 times, verse 9, that you ain't know me, Philip? Hath he seen me? He that has seen me has seen what? Well, how said you, show us the Father? What you mean? He telling Philip, what you mean, show you the Father? You're looking at him. See, we don't say that, huh? They don't want to say that, huh? Well, what's it? But life, when it sees us, supposed to see God. Supposed to see the Father. See, get off that stuff. I'm not going to call myself God. I didn't say you was God. You know you ain't him. First of all, let's not be crazy. You know you ain't him. Right? Second thing. You know you didn't die on nobody's cross. For nobody, all right? So we know what the source of who we are is, right? But the source is telling me, we're trying to prove to the source, or we're trying to prove to other people that we're not being high-minded. But what the source is telling us is, Lord, lift us up where we belong. What the source is telling you is, stand up. You ain't looking like me right now. I did this so you can look like me. The source screaming, see, we gotta, God loves me. Say it. Come on, say it again. Say it again. So we got to understand this. So when I wake up in the morning, I tell myself God loves me. And when I realize that God loves me and I get that through my head, then I can hear him saying, be like me today. Yeah. I can hear him saying, I don't want you crawling around here. I can hear him saying, I did not call you to be under. So because I can hear him saying it and I can hear him talking to me, then I become who I'm supposed to be. If we all be who we're supposed to be, things would change. Jesus said, how you say show me if I believe that I'm not in the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father. I am in the Father and the Father in me. Us believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say to you that he believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father, he keeps going on. And he's not talking about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He keeps going on. See, the Holy Ghost, really, really what the Holy Ghost, we're trying to put the Holy Ghost on a bunch of other stuff. And really, all the Holy Ghost is supposed to, I know I'm gone. I got to stop. The Holy Ghost is reminding you who you are. Bring things to your remembrance. So you know, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are. I ain't getting in no trouble neither, so I ain't preaching over.